a couple of things I want to do tonight. It's a little different, but I pray that tonight's message would be a blessing to you. And we're going to talk about something I believe that is so necessary that we do. And it's amazing tonight as we go to the Word of God. We've already talked about the importance of prayer. Amen? And we've had men to pray tonight for needs that are here. But tonight I want to draw your attention to 1 Samuel chapter number 12. If you take your Bibles and turn there, 1 Samuel chapter number 12. And I'm going to read just two verses there. And I want to share with you the thought tonight of the importance of the necessity of intercessory prayer. Amen? The necessity for intercessory prayer. That is so needful for us tonight. As we look at this area of Scripture, I want to share an area of Scripture that I want to be a blessing and hope that it would encourage you. But I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verses 22 to 24. Is everyone there? For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Isn't that a wonderful thought tonight? Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he have done for you. That would be needful for us tonight. Amen. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for meeting with us, the Lord, tonight, giving us a place that we can come into out of the cares of this world and come into the house of God, that we may be strengthened, Lord, that we may be encouraged in the things of God here tonight. And I just pray that you would work in a special way amongst us. And again, as we've said already, if there be someone here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray that even tonight, this message, even on prayer, that it might be something that they would hear and realize their need of you, because you are the God that answers prayer. And we all need prayer, and we need the God of heaven to answer our prayers. And may we not only pray for our needs, but we be faithful in praying for the needs of others, because it is so necessary in our hearts and lives. Again, we thank you and praise you and love you, and ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want you to think about it tonight. I use this. You may be seated. I'm sorry. I want you to think about tonight as we want to share this time that we have tonight, share some thoughts with you about the importance of prayer. If you really think about it tonight, here it is in 1 Samuel, and Samuel is talking about here, as I was reading in one of my devotions, and some of you may have already read that, and Brother Paul Chappell is writing in one of the devotions that I read just recently about the importance of prayer. And then he talks about in the culture of our that we live in, everyone wants to glorify themselves individually, but we know that all of the glory and honor ought to be given to God and not to ourselves. But one of the things that is lacking in our society today is to realize the importance of prayer. And it is so important for us to pray for each other, because the Bible says if we cease to pray for each other, we're sinning against God if we don't pray for one another. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. And it is so important. But what I wanted to think about it tonight, as we look at this area of Scripture, as he was talking about that, and the importance of us coming to God for other people because of the need of prayer and believing in prayer that God would actually answer their prayers. And how many of us sit here tonight and can remember that someone has always, that we know, have been praying for us? Most of us can think about in our own lives that we realize our parents were praying for us, that they were Christians, they were praying for us, and maybe even some of our brothers and sisters in Christ tell us that they're praying for us. And I hope that if someone, you tell someone that you're praying for them, that you're actually doing that. Amen? It is so important that we do that. And here's what I want to do tonight as we think about prayer. I want us to go and look at one of the, I believe, as he was referring to it. And I just, when I see something, read something that is important to me, I kind of get on this rabbit trail. And I want to go and see what it is about this area that he was talking about as he was referring to a good example of what had happened in the hearts and lives of the nation of Israel. We're going to go to Exodus chapter number 17. As you would turn there, we're going to go to Exodus chapter number 17. And I believe it's a perfect illustration of what the intercessory prayer and what it did in the hearts and lives of the nation of Israel because of all that they were going through. And here's how I want to introduce it to you tonight and get you to understand what it is that I'm talking about. I want us to think about it tonight. One of the greatest miracles that had ever happened in the history of Shining Light Baptist Church, last week God allowed us to be in a missions conference. Amen? And as we were in the missions conference, we pledged to God that God would use us and help us to raise over $90,000 to send people to a foreign land that we can't go ourselves, that we might send some people that will be faithful in going to that place and winning and leading people to the Lord that might be to our account. And that is one of the greatest thrills that we could have as a church if you really think about it. Amen?
Amen.
And I want you to think about it. How are we going to be able to be faithful in doing that? I believe one of the things that is so necessary and so needful for us tonight is to realize that we need to be praying for each other, that we all will be committed to God and be faithful in our giving to God if we're going to carry out that which God has commissioned us to do. And I believe it's important for us to pray for them, pray for each other, because we're going to need it, because we're going to face some things in our lives. And I want us to look at something here in the nation of Israel and in their life as we look at first Exodus chapter number 17. As we come here, I want us to see something that happened in the nation of Israel. And I believe it is a typical example of what can happen when things are just going great. We've gone through some trials. We've gone through some testing as they went through, but the need of prayer. And we see how Moses handled the nation of Israel. And one of the things that Moses did to be a help and a blessing to them, Moses prayed for them. He interceded for them because it was necessary. And I want us to think about it in this way. I know, and I hope that you all are excited about the fact that God would use us to raise that kind of money to send people around the world. And I look at the nation of Israel here in chapter number 17. Here they were. They were brought out of Egypt and brought into the desert to where God was going to bring some testings and some trials into their lives. And even after he was bringing them into this wilderness, they were there and they were without water. And God did a miraculous thing, was that he gave them water to drink. And I want us to compare what God would do in meeting their needs and bringing this joy and this excitement that ought to be in their lives, the same way it ought to be joy and excitement in our lives, that God would allow us to have a part in what he's doing to use us to bring about $90,000 to reach the lost and dying world. I hope y'all excited about it. Are you excited about it? And I believe that they were excited about it. But as the excitement sets in, and the Bible says, and let me read it here. And the Bible says, as they went through this wilderness journey in chapter number 17, as we're going to refer back to it, the nation of Israel comes here. And I want you to read with me in Exodus chapter number 17, verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rehidim, and there was no water for them to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses, notice what Moses did. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." I want you to think about it. Here they were, murmuring and complaining to Moses because they were in the desert Why were they there? They were there by the commandment of God. They were following God's plan. And I believe if we're gonna do what God would have us to do, we got to follow God's plan. But we may go through some desert time. We may go through some wilderness, and we need to be praying for each other, because I believe with all my heart that the devil does not want to see Shining Light Baptist Church reach a lost and dying world. Are y'all with me so far? And I believe this, and when you look at it, they were murmuring and complaining to Moses. Isn't it just like God's people? Isn't it just like us? Now, what happens next? God decides that he's going to hear their prayer. God hears Moses' prayer, and look what happens in verse number 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smote the river, with thy rod, wherewith thou smote the river. Take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee unto the rock of Herod, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Meshaba, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? So God saw that they had a need. They were thirsty in a land that was dry. Desert you go to, just like out here, there's not a whole lot of water unless you got water coming in from somewhere. And they needed water, and God blessed them and gave them water to drink. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, a rock, it's probably not a big item. It didn't say a boulder. It said a rock. Now, you think about it. 20 million people, and Moses was to take that rod that he'd already led them through the Jordan River when he separated, and they went through on dry land. When you think about it, he was to take that rod and smite that rock, and it was going to give off enough water that over 2 million people could drink from it. And their cattle, and their children, and their animals, and it was going to be enough water that they could be able to drink. You know they ought to be excited about that? Because God answered what? God answered Moses' prayer, because Moses interceded for them. Just think about it. Moses interceded for them. And they ought to be excited about it. And here I wanted to think about it as well. As I'm trying to introduce this, I want to share just 4 thoughts with you, hopefully to get to that. And just think about it. They were murmuring and complaining. In other words, the nation of Israel had the reputation of being moaners and complainers. But, you know, trials in our lives are necessary. If God is going to do anything in and through you, he has to get some things worked out of you. And one of the things that happens in the Christian life, most of us are just like the nation of Israel. When things don't go the way that we want them to go, we're going to complain about somebody or to somebody. And their complaints was to Moses. But I might not be too bright here. Why in the world will you complain to Moses? Who brought them there? It ought not take rocket science to figure this out. Who brought them there? God was leading them. And let me say this to you tonight. If God is taking you through a desert place and you're in one, you're there because God has you there. And whatever your need is when you get there, God is going to meet your need. Instead of them complaining to Moses, they ought to have been praying to God and asking him to meet their need. But they wanted to murmur and complain. And that was the trial that they were going through, and God saw their need. Moses interceded for them, and God answered Moses' prayer to meet the nation of Israel's need of thirst and giving them water to drink. I mean, if you go back and study that rock and what it's talking about, it said it was flowing, rivers of water came out of a rock and gave them water to drink that they didn't thirst anymore. And let me say this, and I wanted to kind of tie this all together. Y'all have to bear with me. I've ran around this rabbit about 50 times. But if I want to think about it, if we're going to do what God has called us to do here in the days to come, to meet the needs and meeting the needs of missionary people, we need to be praying for each other that we would be able to do that. Because there's going to be some trials in your life. And when those trials come, who should you turn to? It should be to God. Because trials are going to come. And the trials are to test us to see if we're going to trust God or whether we're not going to trust God. And the reason that God took them to the wilderness was to show them, as you can study the book of Deuteronomy, you study it, God took them through the wilderness because he wanted to show them what was in their heart. God already knew what was in their heart. And God is going to take you to some desert places because he wants to show you what's in your heart. Because you may not know what's in your heart. And then how are you going to respond? And that was one of the trials that they were going through. You go back to chapter 18, they were getting ready to come into the desert and they were complaining to Moses. They murmured in that place. In chapter number 16, they complained. Moses prayed for them there. And then in chapter 17, and they're complaining because they're in the desert place. They didn't have nothing to drink. Matter of fact, in chapter 16, they were murmuring because they didn't have nothing to eat. And the Lord just poured manna from heaven and fed them. And some of them, when they got to the point where he was feeding them, they began to complain. Man, I'm just tired of eating steak all day. Like me, he ought to give me some corn or give me some potatoes to go with it. So they were complaining. And Moses prayed for them again. And I want you to think about it now, because I believe you're going to face this in this year in 2016. You're going to face some trials. You're going to face some times. But you shouldn't give up on God. And we should be praying for each other because we're going to need prayer. Now, here's my thought here tonight. And I want to rest my hat on this very verse, and I couldn't figure out, I hope you all are with me, to understand what it is that is going on here. Here we see God preserved them from thirst again. Now we see here that God is going to preserve them from defeat. Look at verse number 8. And verse number 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with the nation of Israel and routed them. Then came Amalek. You know, isn't life just like that? You go through one trial or you go through a blessing from God and then comes Amalek. See, Amalek is a picture of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Let me ask y'all this question. I heard Andrea talk about it. How many of y'all were excited Monday morning when you went to work to talk about that $90,000 that God had allowed us to pledge to give to missions this upcoming year? How many of y'all were excited about it? I can't get y'all excited yet. I only got another hour and a half. How many of y'all were excited about it? You get to work and start talking about it. You know, when I got to work, there wasn't nobody there to talk to about it. It's like Amalek. You can be excited about it, but there's always going to be that person who does not want you to glory in the things of God. And it's like that at workplaces. It might be like that in your job. It might be like that in your home. It might be like that in your community. You are excited about what God is doing, but then here comes Amalek. If y'all know the history of Amalek, who he is, he's a descendant of who? Esau. And Esau despised his birthright to the point that he was willing to give up his birthright for some pottage because he was despising the things of God. And Amalek shows up. God had blessed them, quenched their thirst. They were all excited. And here comes Amalek. And that's what I felt like it was like to go to work on Monday morning. I get there, there's nobody there to share that excitement with. And here comes Amalek. You go back to all of the cursing. You go back to all of the bad jokes. You go back to a place where nobody wants to hear about God. Nobody talks about God. You don't get uplifted. You get downhearted if you're not careful because they do not have a desire and care for the things of God. Amalek came out and wanted to fight with the nation of Israel because he wasn't excited about God quenching their thirst. In other words, he wanted to fight against them because he didn't want them to be excited about it. And it's the same way in our Christian life. There are most people not today are not excited about this upcoming $90,000. We ain't got it posted up there yet, but at the end of the month, it'll be posted up there. The goal is $90,000. You know what? The world is not going to be excited about that. And the devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from being excited about. And when trials come in your life, he's going to try to get you to be discouraged that you won't give what you have pledged to God that you were going to give. Y'all with me? Then came Amalek, and he wants to fight with you. But I want you to notice something else that Moses does here in this area of scripture. Moses, again, does something that is very needful in the nation of Israel, but I want you to notice something else, too. The nation of Israel were where they were because they were in the place of obedience. They were following God. You and I are pledging this money because we're in the place where God would have us to be, because we want to be obedient to the word of God and to the scriptures and the word of God, that we might please God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We want to be faithful in doing that. But then comes Amalek. And he didn't want you to do that. The devil doesn't want us to reach this world. So they were in a place of obedience, but they were murmuring and complaining to God. And you know, and that's what trials do in your life. It may be a time that you're going to murmur and complain, but the complaining ought not be to the leader. The complainer should have been to God and not to Moses. Moses said, "Why are you chiding with me?" But that's what we do as Christians. We're going to find somebody that's going to listen to our complaint, because we want to complain about somebody. And we blame everybody. But you know what? Moses said, "Your gripe and complaint is not with me. Really, it's with God." But here's what he does. And in verse number 9, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the mountain, to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And both Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now I want you to understand something here. We see the shortage of water. Now we see the shortage of water, but we also see the strife that's coming now, because Amalek wants to defeat them. So Moses had to come with get a plan from God as to what he should do. He wanted Joshua, who was the commander of the officer, to go out and choose some men that will go out and fight. You know, sometimes as a Christian, we may have to fight some battles physically. And our fight is with the flesh. It's not with the world, because it's a spiritual battle in the Christian life. And you may have to fight physically, but you know what Moses did? His fighting was that of the spiritual. And that's why I tell you, folks, it is so important for you and I to be lifting up each other in prayer. Because that's what Moses did. I want to leave you with four thoughts here tonight. I done skipped around all of this that I wanted to say, so y'all gonna get the 2-hour job, amen? Y'all gonna just get the 10-minute here or 15 minutes. I want us to think about it. And I hope you're with me and understand what it is I was trying to get you to see. The miracle in this shortage was so important, because it shows us something that God would have us to do. Because when you think about what was going on here, it was so important. We see the shortage of water, but we also see the strife that was going to go on here. Let me find the right area of my notes here that I want to share with you the importance of what is going on here that we needed to see. There's four things here that I want us to see that we have to do, or we see that's going to come, that's going to help us with this Amalek, with this strife that's going to go on because of what Amalek had done. When you understand who Amalek was, as we said already, Amalek was a picture of sin. He was that one that was the grandson of Esau. And we won't go back and look at all of that tonight. But notice, first of all, the deputizing that Joshua had to do. He drafted some men that would go out and fight the physical fight, but the battle was not so much the physical, the battle was the spiritual, and Moses chose that which was needed because he knew what was necessary. Moses go up here unto the mount, and notice something here as we look at it, what may seem to you as strangeness. Here you were sending Joshua out to fight, and you're going to go up on the mountain or on the hill. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? But the strange thing about it is Moses was going up there, and him being up there and raising that rod was a picture of him lifting up holy hands to God, asking him to intervene. Amen. And as long as his hands were stayed, they were winning the battle. And it tells me as long as we're praying for each other, we can win the battles. It's when the hands go down. It's when the prayers stop that you lose the battle. Whether it's on your part or whether it's on somebody else's part, because we're not praying for each other. And see, the world would think that it's strange when you say you're going to pray about something. You ever had that to happen? I've had it happen many times in my life. When you're making a major decision and people ask you, well, why don't you just do this or why don't you just do that? And in the Christian life, you know what you ought to do? You ought to pray about it. And you tell them you're going to pray about it, they think you're strange because you pray about it. But that's what you ought to do as a Christian. Moses didn't ask anybody else what to do. He went up there because he wanted to get a hold of God, and they were going to win this battle. It was going to be not because of the physical fighting that was going to go on. It was because of the spiritual fighting that was going to go on. And it was going to require prayer. Let me tell you something tonight. I don't know what battles or what struggles that you're going on, that are going on in your life. But everything or whatever it is that's going on in your life, it needs to be saturated with prayer. God answers prayer. We have this prayer list, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I don't pray for you all as much as I ought to. And you probably don't pray for me as much as you ought to if you just be honest with you and be honest with yourselves. How many of us spend enough time in prayer praying for each other? Because you know what? Prayer is strange. There's a strangeness in it. He goes up on the mountain and look, and those that were with him, they must have had some understanding of what he was doing too, because they could see the fact that when his hands were up, they were winning the battle. When his hands went down, they were losing the battle. So her and the other that was up there, they were making sure that Moses' hands stayed lifted up to God, because prayer with hands raised was a picture of him crying out to God and saying, God, we need you to win this battle. And that's why it tells me tonight that intercessory prayer is so necessary in the Christian life. And it may seem strange, but don't you notice something else? I'm going to get there. Hold on. Amen. It was strangeness that was taking place as we look at it and see here in verse number in these verses. You know, when we think about it, strange. Most people, just like they were thinking that, you know, what wins battles is swords or spears or chariots or horses or bows and arrows in those days was what they were fighting with. Amen. And most of us would think that that's how you win the battle. But when you can try to use those physical things to win the battle, you know what happens? You leave God out. And you get defeated because you're trying to do it on your own. But if you want to win the battle, you better keep God engaged in the battle, because that's the only way you're really going to win. And to God be the glory, because God wants to have the glory. God wants to have the honor. Nobody would have thought that that was what Aaron and Hur and Moses needed to do. But that was what was necessary and needful that they would do, because that's what was going to win the battle. It wasn't the physical fighting so much that was going to go on. And notice not only the significance of it. Because of the significance of it, we see that they had to go up there and fight. Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass when Moses and Hur went up on the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand were heavy, and they took stones and put it under him that he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. It was so significant. But the symbolic of it all was, again, was those hands being lifted up, and God was going to answer, because Moses, again, was interceding for the nation of Israel because he knew what needed to be done. He knew the importance of prayer. He knew the importance of it. But notice also the supporters. We need others supporting us with prayer in our lives. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. It's not just one person and you doing all the prayer. We ought to be praying for each other collectively as a group. That's why on Wednesday night we have a prayer list, so you know what the needs are of people that you will be praying for them. And I hope you don't take it lightly and take it for granted, but there's a lot of needs on this paper. And that's not just all the needs. That's just a smidge tippet of what needs to be prayed for when it comes to people's lives. That's why we pray for each other. That's why we should pray for each other. And if we're going to reach the goal, we can be excited about it, but I tell you what, in this upcoming year, there's going to be some dry times in your life. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be a challenge. One thing I like about this whole scene is we see it unfold here. We see the presence of God. We see the power of God. We see the provisions of God. And we see the promises of God. And that's what we're going to need when it comes to doing what God would have us to do in 2016. Because Moses saw it. But the thing that gets God stirred up most in the Christian life is his people praying to him, asking for help, because we can't do it on our own. And if you're here tonight, if you've never prayed the sinner's prayer, that's the first prayer that you need to petition to God. And you know what? That's the only prayer that God will answer in your life to this point. Until you become his child, he does not hear your prayers. But it was Moses interceding for the people of God that God heard his prayer and God answered his prayer. And you and I, if we're born again Christians, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have our hearts right with God, because those holy hands was a symbol of the fact that Moses was petitioning, his heart was right with God, that he could petition to God on behalf of the nation of Israel because he was right with God. And God won't answer the prayer of a sinner, but the sinner's prayer. He'll answer that prayer by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life to save you from your sin, because it's a spiritual battle. And sin is one of the things that will defeat not only the Christian, but it's defeating our world and society that we're living in today. And the only thing that's going to change this world is the working of God. And it begins with the Christian. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? And pray. And turn from what? Their wicked way. And then they will hear from heaven. Because God wants to answer our prayers. But we got to intercede for others and their needs. And there are many needs here tonight. And I know there are. Because we all be honest with ourselves. The devil, Amalek. And then came Amalek. You can be excited. I left here Sunday night. I was walking on cloud 12. Couldn't even sleep. Thinking about how in the world could God use us to do what he's doing. Then I get a text from Brother Hall. He all excited about it. And I get to work. And here's Amalek. All of the things that are not excited about what God is doing. They ain't even got nobody to share it with. Because most of them look at you like you crazy. Like I got two heads. I got one. It's pretty big, but I got one head. But that's how they look at you. And that's what Amalek, he was opposed to everything that God was doing. And Moses went up on the behalf of the people. He went up where it needed to be. And he went up on the hill. And he lifted up his hands to God and asked God to intervene. Because he knew the necessity of prayer. And I hope that you understand that tonight, that there's a great need of prayer. It's a strange thing, but it's necessary. It's significant because God answers. It's symbolic because we need to empty ourselves and show God that we need him. I don't need to try to do it on my own. I know he can do it. And we need to be supporters of others. And I hope you remember those, at least those four things. You remember nothing else I said. This screaming man hollering, sweating all over, whatever. That you remember that you need God. And we need to support each other in prayer. And I thought about it. We can be so excited about what God wants to do in our future, in the coming. And we've gone through some things this year in 2015. And most of us gone through some trials, and we've been murmurers of God. And when you murmur, you're not murmuring at the situation, but you're murmuring and complaining to God. But yet, even in their murmuring, God still answered Moses' prayer on their behalf. So it tells me that even when I'm complaining, folks, y'all pray for me. God may work in my life. And even when you're complaining, I'll be praying for you. God will be working in your life. Because Amalek's going to come. He doesn't want you to, he don't want to see you succeed. He wants to do everything he can to destroy what God is doing. And if he can't get you to not participate, he don't want you to be excited about participating. So he's going to bring things in your life that's going to put you downhearted, to get you down, to get you depressed, and maybe even stop you from giving when it comes to missions this coming year. Because he'll make sure the trials in your life be the ones that you focus on instead of the God in your life that you ought to be focusing on. That's what Amalek will do. What about you tonight? Will you pray for me? I'm going to pray for you. It may seem strange, but it's necessary. It may seem strange, but it's significant in the Christian life. And it's symbolic because that's how we get a hold of God. And we need to support each other just like her and did. They stayed Moses' hand. And as long as his hands were up, they won the battle. The Bible tells us that they prevailed. And if we hold up our hands and empty ourselves of selfishness and come to God humbly and pray for one another and pray for each other, God will answer our prayers because he's obligated to answer prayer because he wants to meet your need. What about you tonight? What about you tonight? Will you pray for me? I'm gonna pledge that I'm going to pray for you because I want to see us as a church be committed to what we have promised God that we would do. Because God is going to provide for us. Even in the desert times, God will provide. God will meet needs because that's what he obligated to do. Let's bow for prayer. We don't have a pianist to play tonight, but if God has spoken in your hearts about something that you may need to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray, you come and do just that. I had a lot of things that I wanted to say tonight, but I wanted to get to what I thought was the crux of everything, was to see the importance of praying. Prayer is so important. As 1 Samuel said, that God would, that he should be against the Lord to cease praying for you. It would be a sin for me not to pray for you because the Bible commands us to pray ye one for another. And I pray tonight that it might be encouragement to you to realize the importance of prayer. And maybe you're here tonight, and there's something going on in your life. I don't know all what it is, but I know that Amalek will come, and he wants to defeat you. But God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to meet your need. And may he meet the needs that you have tonight through his word, according to his will, and may it be done God's way. And if God has you where you are tonight, the situation that you're in, some of it may be there because of our own doing. But if you are a child of God tonight, he still has a part in you being where you are because God wants you to see him through all that you're going through. God wanted the nation of Israel to see their need of him. And I believe God has that same purpose, that same desire for you. And we need to be supportive of each other and praying for each other. It is significant. It is strange, but it is symbolic that prayer is what Moses did and the supporters that were around him to help them win the battle. And we need to be that for each other tonight. And I pray that you will be there for each other in the days to come. We're going to need it in this upcoming year if we're going to be committed to what God has called us to do as a church. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior. Don't leave here tonight without making that decision, or it's eternally too late. Let someone here take the Bible and show you how you could be saved and know that you're on your way to heaven. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? Don't leave here without answering, being able to answer that question according to the word of God. We praise you tonight, Lord, and thank you for meeting with us. And I pray that tonight's message and the thoughts have been a blessing and an encouragement to your people. I believe this week of prayer and this time in the middle of the week, we need to be prayer warriors praying for each other, because there's a battle that's going on in every life around the corner and in our nation, where we see that so many destructive things are going on. And if anything is going to answer and meet the needs, it's going to be the prayers of the Christians petitioning our hearts to you, asking that you to work as only you can. We thank you tonight. We praise you and we love you. We ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.